Dan Nesbitt, thanks for joining us from Big Brother Watch in London. There are reports this week that your television may be watching you. Sounds spooky. Tell us about that.
Yes, so it was announced earlier this week that Samsung's voice control televisions were actually also recording what you're saying and then storing that information. And this is really a twofold problem. The first is the lack of control consumers have over this technology, so they can't turn the microphone off. Even if they stopped the voice control element of it, the microphone would still be recording them. And secondly is the lack of awareness that they have. So many people had no idea that this was happening. And this is a problem we see time and again with companies, particularly technology companies, that their terms and conditions are just too long, too complex, and too legalistic. So the average person just can't understand what they're being asked to sign up to.
And is it only Samsung TVs or are other brands eavesdropping?
Well, as far as we know, it's just Samsung TVs. There's been no reports of other TVs doing this, but I think this should be seen as a wake-up call to both consumers and companies, consumers to read the terms and conditions carefully to ensure that they know what the technology can do, and also the companies to actually make it clear what they're doing and make it easily understandable what technology they're actually selling.
Another device that seems to be intruding into our lives is the drone. Is that something to worry about?
Well, I'm not sure if it's something to worry about at this point, but definitely something to be aware of. I mean, drones are sort of unlike any other surveillance equipment we've seen so far. In many ways, they can be so small and so maneuverable that they can be a lot more intrusive than sort of average CCTV cameras. And so what really needs to happen at this point is that we need to see the legislation that governs them keeping pace with technology and making sure that they're actually properly regulated, so we have clear instructions over who can use them, for what purposes they can be used, and where they can be used.
Now, there are CCTV cameras all over London and other major cities. The authorities tell us they're a good thing, necessary protection against crime and terrorism. Are they right?
Well, this is an argument we've seen time and again over the last maybe 10 or so years, that CCTV cameras are a form of a sort of a silver bullet to stopping crime. And this is an argument that many law enforcement agencies sort of adhere to. But it's actually the wrong argument to be making, because in fact there's no evidence to show that they have a measurable impact on crime. There's no evidence to say that they stop crime or even deter criminals, because if you're wanting to commit a crime, then they're just too easy to get around at the moment. You can just put a hood up or put a mask on. And the camera, it can't intervene in a crime. It can only record it for potential use in a court case. A police officer would provide much more of a deterrent than a camera would.
France and the UK are stepping up the monitoring of email and social media. It's been called a snooper's charter. Is that an unwelcome development?
Well, it is concerning because, you know, time and again politicians have said these powers are absolutely necessary and that they would protect us, but there's no evidence to suggest that they are absolutely necessary. We're told that access to communications data would have stopped attacks such as 7/7 and the Woolwich murder in the UK, but in each case the problem wasn't identifying the suspects because they're already known to the authorities. The problem was keeping track of them and making sure that they were properly monitored once they were identified. And this is what we should be looking at. We should be making sure that the intelligence agencies have the proper resources to make sure they can monitor the people who actually want to do us harm, rather than the ability to monitor us all just in case.
Now, I understand that some people have used the Charlie Hebdo killings in France as an excuse to tighten the monitoring of email and other forms of communication. Is that important?
Some politicians have used the shootings in Paris as a moment to call for tighter surveillance. But I think, once again, you can look at if you look at the evidence, then it's clear that some of those suspects were already known to the intelligence agencies. And so you come back round to the viewpoint that actually what we need is more resources to help the intelligence agencies closer monitor those people they already know.
And are there other forms of surveillance we haven't talked about?
Well, one of the most interesting ones is body-worn cameras. So in the UK, a lot more police forces are starting to do trials of these cameras, which are usually quite small and found on the lapel of a police officer's uniform. And in many similar ways to drones, we want to see some very clear guidelines about how they can be used and very tight legislation on making sure that they're used responsibly. So a police officer, for example, shouldn't be able to turn a body-worn camera off when he wants to. And when the footage is taken off of the camera, we would like to see it stored by an independent body so that police officers can't just unilaterally make sure that they get hold of the footage.
Now, Big Brother is a reference to George Orwell's novel 1984. Are we there? Can we say goodbye to the privacy enjoyed by previous generations?
No, I don't think we're quite there yet, but I think it's something also we shouldn't be complacent about. We obviously need to continually protect both our privacy and our civil liberties and ensure that they're not being overly infringed upon.
Dan Nesbitt, thanks for joining us from Big Brother Watch in London.